Blog.
This is Lady Taz, and here we are for another show, and this one's going to be all about teen pregnancy and, well, I guess, you know, baby mamas, as the song says. And the question is it a badge of honor? I don't know if you all know this, but the United States has the dubious distinction of being the country with the highest rate of teen pregnancy in the industrialized world. So, I mean, you know, I think it's worth taking a look at it and saying, okay, what the hell is going on? But before we get into the actual subject, let's welcome all the panelists. I'm going to start out with Lisa. Hey, Lisa, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. And, of course, our lady Renee. Renee, how are you? Renee?
I'm doing good.
Oops, I think... What?
I'm doing good.
Wow, is that Renee?
No, no, that was me. I was trying to, you know, fill in for it. Might be on me.
I'm like, okay, Renee's changed her voice. That did not sound like Renee. She's either really sick or something is wrong. But I think we got Renee now. Renee?
Yes, ma'am.
Renee, you just missed, okay. Chris wanted to fill in for you. I said, is that Renee? And he goes, yeah, I'm here. And I'm like, okay, something's really wrong with Renee.
Oh, man.
So I think Chris is going through some kind of, I don't know, schizophrenia thing or double personality. But, you know, he's got your back, girl. I mean, you know, he was willing to do both. You know,
he's
I would have
so
loved
helpful.
To see now that. What?
I said he's so helpful.
He is. But you know what, Renee, just for the hell of it, it would have been kind of funny to see him try to pull off the whole show that way. If I had accepted that that was Renee, and then I would have like, okay, and Renee, what do you have to say? I'd love to see him play two sides.
He wouldn't have been that helpful.
Yes, I would.
He would not.
Don't estimate the power of the brother.
Don't worry. Ooh, look at that. And, of course, a shout-out to Sean. Sean in the Big D. Sean, how are you?
I'm good. What's going on, y'all?
We're good. We're good.
And, if somebody
and of course,
your
I've got someone calling in from area code 239. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Woman, you losing it.
Oh, wait. Why? Is that you? Wait a minute. Okay, I had too many people on the board. Okay, I'm sorry. I got someone from the area code 832, but I guess, okay, whatever. You know what? I don't even know. I don't even know. Okay,
oh,
you know what?
The 832 is a friend of mine. She wanted to listen in on the show, so she's probably not going to say nothing unless, you know, it get interesting.
Oh, all right then. Well, that sounds good. That sounds wonderful. All right, 832, and of course, okay, so Renee, I got my numbers a little messed up, okay? Give me a break here, okay? All right.
I did.
So let's go on. What?
I did. That's why I only said
oh, yeah. No, we're going to have words. We're going to have words when we get off the air.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, whatever. Okay. I love you, too. So, here's the thing. As you know, Lady Taz does her research. And I went to this place, this website called student.com. And what they do is they take surveys. They take surveys of things. And they actually had a teen survey. And quite interesting. Now, I'm not going to go through every single question that they asked or whatever, okay? But I'd like to go through some of the statistics with you and just get, you know, sort of see what you guys think. Now, the way it works on the site is you enter your age and your sex, and then you go through and you answer the survey. So I've got the results for ages 13, 14, and 15, all right? Now, in the 13-year-old age group, there were almost 8,500 people that participated in the survey, male and female. In the 14-year-old category, there was 11,369. And then in the 15-year-old, we got a whopping 15,719. So now, check this out. I'm going to try to tell you the differences between the ages. So, first question, have you ever had a serious girlfriend or boyfriend, right? 50% of the males 13 years old said yes, and 57% of females. And as we go to 14 years of age, the males stay roughly the same, but the females go up to 63%. And then when we go to 15-year-olds, again, the males stay about the same, and women go even higher. The females go even higher to 68%. Now, have you ever made out with a girl/guy, right? So the boys, at age 13, 46.9 of them said yes, and 56.7 of the girls, this is at age 13, said yes. By age 14, the male figure stays about the same, okay? But the girl's figure goes up to a whopping 69.4%. And by the time we get to the 15-year-old stats, it goes up, again, the guys go up ever so slightly, only by about 2 percentage points, but the females go up another 10% to 78.4%, okay? And then it asks questions like, you know, have you ever French kissed, whatever. Now, here's one. Have you ever given oral sex? At the age of 13, 24.8% of the males had and 25.3% of the females had. By the time we get to age 14, we've got 22% for the males, which is actually goes down a little. But for the females, it jumps up a whopping 5% to 30%. And then by the time we get to age 15, again, the males stay, actually they go, nope, they stay about the same, 24.9, so a 0.1 difference. But the females jump up another 10% to a whopping 41%. Well, that's 11% jump on oral sex. Now let's look at the, so don't forget, the starting point here on oral sex was 25%, 25.3% at the age of 13, and by the time we get to the age of 15, that number goes up to a whopping 41%. And then, have you ever had sexual intercourse? At the age of 13, 22.9% of the guys, boys, said yes, and 22.8% of the girls. And by the time we get to the age of 14, the boys' figure goes down to 20%. The girls' figure jumps up 5% to 28%. And then by the time we get to age 15, the boys are still at 20.9, which is lower than at age 13, and the girls jump up to a whopping 38%, and that's by the age of 15. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I find these statistics scary. What do you all think? I'll start with you, Lisa. What do you think? What do you think of those stats?
Excuse me. Just goes to show you, you know, what's going on with our youth. You know, and a lot of the programs that used to be available to keep these kids busy, after-school programs, music programs, sports, to keep them out of trouble. I mean, I'm 41 years old, so you're speaking to somebody that was a latchkey child. So, you know, during that time, that was probably the start of it. A lot of time, free time home, no adult supervision. And, you know, the probably the one of the most dangerous thing walking on 2 feet is a damn teenager. So, you know, there it is. And a teenager with no direction, no guidance, I mean, that can be a recipe for disaster. So I'm not surprised.
Well, okay. All right. Renee, what do you think of the stats you heard?
No, I'm not surprised by the stats. At all. So kids need to, there needs to be more to allow kids to be kids. There's always this push to have them act as adults, even by so many other adult standards, trying to force them to mature in different things. Of course, they need to, but at a different level than just all of the responsibilities that's placed upon them. And the sad thing about the stats is I already knew the guys' stats were lower than the female. And what that tells me, either, you know, the same guy is going around with several different girls, which typically happens. And then part of what I read, in so many instances where there's teenage girls getting pregnant, the fathers aren't teenagers.
Wow. So. All right. Well, that's something we should cover later on in the show. I'll turn it to you, Sean. Sean, what do you think of these stats?
It's astounding, but I'm not shocked by it. You know, I'm 43, so like Lisa said, you know, that when I was coming up, it was the start of, you know, kids having kids and so forth and so on. So I'm not shocked by it, but it's sad. It's really sad because you got women out here that are grandmothers at 30.
Probably. Yes.
So it's sad, but I mean, you know, what can you do? The government's cutting everything. Hello?
I don't know what that is. I have no idea what that is.
Is
somebody's phone ringing?
Oh.
I have no idea what that sound was.
What that was. But yeah.
Okay, continue, Sean. Sorry to...
But it ain't your fault. Don't worry about it. But it's you know, I'm not shocked by it, but it's just sad. I mean, you know, like I said, government is cutting everything and taking these programs away, and, you know, some people just don't give a damn. And, you know, then you have the ones that are trying to, you know, redirect our youth. But shit, they so far gone. Hell, ain't shit you can do. They going to do what they want to do. You know, so it is what it is. We just got to deal with it.
Right. Okay, and Chris, what do you have to say on this subject? What do you think of these stats?
Well, I think they say it, for one. But I'm actually shocked a little bit, considering what I actually see, that they are as low as they are. I mean, I would have thought they would be higher based on what I see when I walk around. You know what I'm saying? So,
Expected them to be higher?
Yeah, I did, really. I actually expected them to be higher. So I'm actually shocked at the fact that they're, you know, especially, you know, with the things that they get to see on TV, the quickness in which, you know, kids grow up nowadays. And, you know, kind of like what Sean was saying, you know, with all the things with the government, it kind of forces a parent to have to let their child raise themselves to a certain degree. And when a child starts feeling like they're grown, then they start feeling like they can do grown folks stuff. And, you know, so, you know, it's a very sad situation. I mean, because, like I said, I was a teenage parent, so I kind of understand that, you know, situation.
Right. Now, another little stat that I wanted to point out, and I don't know how relevant this may be, but the question is, have you had sexual intercourse with more than 5 girls or guys? And interestingly enough, at the age of 15, the stat says 6.9%, so, you know, 7% pretty much. And at the age of 14, that stat is 6.2%. And at the age of 13, and listen to this, and I'm talking females right now, it's 11.5%. Wow. At 13, have you had sex with more than 5 guys? And the stat is 11.9%. So 12%. I have to be honest with you guys. I mean, yeah, I know it's bad out there and, you know, through some of the work that I do, but I got to tell you, these stats did kind of shock me. And, you know, the beauty of these stats is that this isn't a small sampling. Like I said, in the 15-year-old category, you've got almost 16,000 teenagers that responded. And in the 14-year-old, almost 12,000. And in the 13, 8,500. So, I mean, wow. I mean, this is not a small, you know, sampling. Like sometimes you'll hear, you know, they'll take a survey of like 200 kids or something, right? So I think this gives us a pretty good idea of what the hell is going on. Now, what do you guys think? And I'll just kind of go around the table. What do you guys think is the reason why we've got such a problem with teen pregnancy? And I'll start with you, Renee.
Well, I don't think it's one set, you know, problem. I think it's just a multitude of different things. You have girls, in my opinion, and many people share the same opinion, that it's like we're born ready to experience love. There are so many, and I mean, I think I've told you before about my daughter at the age of 3 seeing a guy and a girl kiss on the TV show, and she's like, ah, and I'm like, oh, hell no. She needs a wake-up call because life is not a fairy tale. And there's so many people who aren't told, aren't given any direction, aren't given any guidance at all. And there's so many young women I know that I speak to, and their one desire is to feel and be loved. That's the number one issue. And parents are dropping the ball with trying to instill the beauty that each girl has, and guys for that matter, and teaching them how to value themselves and have some type of love and respect for themselves. I mean, but it's so many different things out there that could contribute to why this is the way it is. There's sex every time you turn on the TV to sell toothpaste. They use sex. There's sex in all these songs, promoting promiscuity and just so much nonsense out there. And with the computer age, there's so much access that these kids have, and they're seeing sex and porn in different ways. I mean, there's free porn out there that they can get access to. When you're seeing it, you're hearing it over and over, you're eager to experience it, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sean, what do you think? What do you think's causing this explosion of teen pregnancy?
You know what, I'm like Renee, it's so much. I mean, it's a lot of things out here that's promoting it. You know, you got parents that, you know, don't give a damn. They use their kids just to get a welfare check, you know, and it's just, it's a lot of things. I can't pinpoint one that would be the number one, will be my number one choice, but it's just a lot of things. I mean, you got kids that were coming up back then that were, you know, doing this crack shit, and then now they, you know, their kids are addicted, they grown, they wild, and I mean, it's just a lot of things. They have too much time on their hands, for one, and they don't have any direction to put that time to good use, you know, so they out doing what they want to do and, you know, experimenting and trying different things, you know, it's just crazy. So, you know, like Renee said, it's just a lot of things. You know, once we, you know, as adults hit the nail on the head, it might get worse. You never know.
Wow. So you think it might get worse before it gets better?
Yeah, I mean, shit. I mean, look at these kids nowadays. I mean, you got, you know, even though the stats aren't as high for the boys, you know, it's alarmingly high for the girls. And at the age of 13, you got damn near 12% of the girls that had sex with five guys. Come on now. That's unheard of. At 13, are you serious?
Yep.
13, you should be playing with dolls or something. You know what I'm saying? If not playing with dolls, I mean, you know, knitting and crocheting or something, or doing something with your time other than experimenting with sex. That's crazy.
Well, and let me throw something else out at you, Sean. Another one of the questions was, have you ever had sex with more than one person at a time? And in the 13-year-old group, the girls were at 11.9%, and the boys were at 15.6.
Wow!
And that's a 13. That's a 13.
See,
I'm telling you, this stuff is scary. I think, Chris, what do you think? What do you think is causing this explosion in teen pregnancy?
Not one thing. I mean, one, I guess the fact that they keep having sex, so that would be like the number one reason. what? I'm just being honest. I mean, the fact that they keep having sex, but the cause for the sex is just the you know, like I say, no guidance. You know, nothing better to do. Like Renee said, you know, wanting to be loved, because just like women want to be approved, you know, men want to be, you know, accepted too. Because I remember when I was growing up, you know, my mom, you know, so she did the best she could, and she used to talk to me all the time about, you know, not having sex, blah, blah, blah. And then I think she got smart because she realized, you know, that would be a dumb subject to have with a teenager, to tell them not to have sex. So she always got on me, you know, hey, you have sex, make sure you wrap it up. But when I went outside, you know what I'm saying, you know, I had my first child when I was 14. Okay, the older guys, I'm hearing them, you know, and this programming went in my head and stayed for a long time. But they were like, you're supposed to hit everything you can. If it got titties and a cat, you're supposed to fuck it. That was just the way, you know, they were teaching us, you know. But like I said, I was learning it from knuckleheads that didn't know no better than I did. You know, but
right.
I grew up, I think I was up to my 20s before I finally started, you know, getting that out of my system. But it took a long time. But for the longest, I used to be a part of that 3F club, you know, and I was trying to hit everything that walked on the face of this green earth.
Now, let me ask you something, Chris. If the men that were around you at that time that were telling you, you know, you should hit whatever, you know, as many times as you can, however many you can, blah, blah, blah. If instead of that, they were telling you the opposites and saying, no, you shouldn't do that, you should wait till you meet someone special, blah, 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 do you think that would have made a difference?
It would have made a difference in how I treated women. I know that much. Now, would it have stopped me from actually ever having sex? I guarantee you it would not have stopped me from ever having sex, right?
But well, not ever having sex. I mean, good God, Chris, we would want you to have sex.
As a teenager, what I'm saying, I still would have had sex because my hormones was kicking, okay? My hormones, curiosity, it was kicking. It was hard. It was heavy. So, yes, as a teenager, yes, I would have had sex. Now, would I have been trying to hit everybody? You know, because the first time I had sex, you know, I was raped. Now, after that, it was on. I mean, it was on. I mean.
Okay, now I'm sorry because, you know, I'm just a glutton for these things. I'm going to bite. What do you mean you were raped?
She took the ding-ding. I didn't give it to her. She took it.
Wow. And you, how old, 14?
14. I didn't have no control over hard-ons. Wasn't no control. I mean, at 14, you know, I could see a branch go through a tree the wrong way and be like, oh, shit, I'm horny, you know. it didn't take much back then, so, you know, it was just a thought process.
And I'm just curious, how old was the girl?
14.
Okay, so she was the same age as you.
Yeah, but she wasn't no virgin either. I was a virgin.
You were a virgin.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Lisa, what do you think? What do you think is causing this explosion?
I'd have to say probably the thing that I'm hearing and the thing that I'm seeing and the things that I'm hearing over and over repeatedly from the girls, because I don't necessarily hear or see too many teenage boys talk about I want a baby, I want to be a daddy, is that the girls want unconditional love. So there is a problem there to me with self-esteem, self-acceptance, and just having someone in the home telling the girls that I love you, you're safe, you're cared for, and to give them a sense of direction, something to do. You see, because they're young out here, your hormones are raging, they can channel all that energy. Channel it into sports, channel it into school, channel it into music. I mean, it's sex energy. Like you see billionaires, or you hear about people in the industry who say, I'm celibate. I choose not to have sex at this time because I'm taking that energy and I'm channeling it into my business. This is what I'm doing. And they become a great success. It's just transferring that energy. But see, these are young folks and they don't understand that. They're allowing their lower selves to rule them. But, see, nobody's really sitting down and really telling them and letting them know that, you know, we are sexual beings, but at the same time you have to master yourself. And it's particularly the girls. When I talk to young girls, I tell them, you get out there, you get caught up, guess who's going to be carrying that baby for 9 months? Guess who's going to be giving birth, laying on that table?
Well,
you know,
that's
it's
right,
easy.
Exactly.
It is
exactly.
Expensive.
And
And, you know, sex is a spiritual thing. People don't realize. But, you know, people in the media have debased it to such a degree and have turned it into such a filthy thing and such a taboo thing. I mean, it's nothing. You've got, you know, young boys and girls walking around telling you I'm bisexual. It's no big thing. Oral sex is not sex. You know, you're talking
well,
about
apparently,
the girls
apparently
having oral
there's
sex
a real,
and vaginal
a real...
sex. These young girls are also participating, Lady Taz, in anal sex and will tell you that they're a virgin. Butthole wide as the Grand Canyon.
Well, yeah, apparently there is a push among teenagers to have more and more oral sex. And now, I don't know. Well, first I'm going to invite somebody. They put their hand up. So area code 832, what is your name and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Houston, and my name is Ronnie.
Hi, Ronnie. Welcome to the show, Ronnie.
Thank you. I've missed some of the conversation, but I got in when Chris was talking about losing virginity at 14, and then the lady after him was saying it was a self-esteem issue. I'm a mm-hmm. teen mother. I had my daughter when I was 16, and it had nothing to do with self-esteem for me. It was more or less just carelessness and peer pressure.
Wow,
and
okay, carelessness and peer pressure.
That was in the 80s. It may have changed now because I don't talk to teens a lot now. But at that point, it was, if you don't, someone else will. And if you want them, you should do it. And I did it, and I was pregnant and depressed the entire pregnancy.
Well, but see, indirectly, though, that is an issue of self-esteem, right? Because if a person has self-esteem, then when someone says, well, if you don't do it, somebody else will, then it's like, well, then let them. Because you know what? I'm worth more than that. Right? So in a way, it sort of is an issue of self-esteem.
Well, that's where I was, but I went out with some other teens that were drinking, and we should not have been drinking. And at that point, yeah, she said it becomes a sexual deal with alcohol. I had sex, and I was pregnant.
Yeah, and you know what? And that's another thing that came out during my research is that use of alcohol among teenage girls has tripled in the last 10 years. So
it's mostly on the rise. I have nieces that started drinking at, you know, getting alcohol from other friends, older brothers and sisters at 14, 15, and 16. And normally when you are drinking, what follows drinking? Sexual tendencies and alcohol.
Right. That's a very good point that you make. Now, what I'd like to do is just refer back to something that Renee said, and I think most of you sort of touched on it too, this whole issue of wanting to be loved. And what's interesting in this survey, there's a question on here that says, do you feel you should only have sexual intercourse if you love the partner? Now, this is going to be interesting because you would think, right, that it's inconsistent with the rest of the survey. But actually, it makes perfect sense because it falls in line with what Renee was saying. So at the age of 13, the percentage breakdown for that particular question was 47% for the males and 60% for the females. And then when you get to 14, the percentage breakdown is... 46 for males, so pretty much the same, goes up to 65% for the females. And then by the time they reach 15, it kind of stays the same for females and actually stays the same for males as well by the looks of things. Let me just double check that. Oh, it goes up by 1% for the males. So interestingly enough, here they are, they're having all this sex, but yet, you know, somehow at the end of the day, they believe that they shouldn't have sex unless they're in love. So I think Renee, who probably stressed it the most, is this search or this quest for love or to be loved. And in fact, statistically, they have found out that a lot of young women actually want a baby. And I'm going to tell you something. I went on YouTube, and I don't know how many of you have checked out the subject on YouTube, but there's this craze going on YouTube where pregnant teens go on YouTube and they post what's called a pregnancy diary. And they go on every couple of days or every couple of weeks or whatever, and they kind of say how things are progressing in their pregnancy and how things are going and this and that, which I thought was quite interesting. But in response, because at the end of each video, you know, if you want to, you can leave a comment. And so I was looking at some of the comments, and one of the girls on in her response said, you know, thank you so much for sharing your wonderful pregnancy experience. I really want a baby, and I'm so glad you're sharing your story. Hopefully soon I will have my own baby. And this girl was 13. 13. So I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at this, and I'm saying, wow, by having these pregnancy diaries out there, I don't know, it somehow seems to glorify the whole thing about having a baby, makes it seem like this really wonderful thing to do. And so here you've got this 13-year-old that's saying, gee, you know, I'm going to be posting pretty soon, too, because I'm hoping to be pregnant very soon. And yet these kids have absolutely no clue what it means to be a mother or what it means to raise a child. I mean, I find that just so incredibly scary. And now you've got the reality show called Teen Moms, which I don't know, I think to some degree also glorifies the whole you know, teen pregnancy experience. I've only caught a couple of episodes, so I don't feel, you know, qualified to really comment on all that. But what do you guys think? I mean, what do you guys think about this whole YouTube thing and you know, back to this whole love thing? And I'll start with you, Renee. What do you think?
As for YouTube, the internet, period, I think there needs to be more limits. Because there's so many weak-minded people who are seeking love, and then some little girl will see this and think, oh, that's what I need to have. You know, yes, there is the peer pressure. It's so relevant. It definitely exists. I have a teenage son. I have teenage niece and nephews, and I'm always talking to them, their friends, and constantly asking questions. I'm the aunt that they can sit and talk and tell anything to without judgment, and I'll just try and steer them in the right direction. And there is a lot of pressure out there, and girls want to be loved, and of course boys do too, but I just see it's at a higher level with females for whatever reason, especially if
statistically
right.
It says so that it's much higher
right.
for the girls than boys
based on your percentage. But there's, once a girl has even had sex, they are expecting that love to just happen overnight, and it's sad that that begins their quest to attain love. It's like they equate sex with love. And even though in the survey you mentioned the girls say, and the guys, you know, whatever the percentages were regarding to be loved in order to have sex, they're too immature to realize that what they're feeling is not love. It's just their hormones all revved up. But to them, they think it's love because they don't know any better.
Right, right.
So, I mean, they believe that.
And I agree with you. Who would like to add to that? Go ahead and speak up. Okay, nobody.
She said it in a nutshell.
We've got somebody calling from area code 7. I'm going blind. I think it's 706. It's either 706 or 708. Could you please tell us your name and where you're calling from?
This is Abe from Georgia.
Hello, Abe. How are you?
I'm okay. I heard you talking about the Teenage Mom Show and how it's affecting us right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's
yep.
They're glorifying it. I can't stand it. They're glorifying teen pregnancy. And I got to ask this question.
I don't know. You tell me. I don't know. I don't know where the parents are. I don't know where the parents are when these kids are making these YouTube videos. And, like, for example, one girl, she stands up and she goes, "Oh, and I have to show you my belly." And she lifts up her top and she shows the belly and she goes, "Oh, it's too bad because as I get bigger, my piercing's going to have to come out." And she was 14. I'm like, really? Like, really? Like, where are the parents while the kid is making that video?
In another room.
Yeah.
Or not home. A lot of these
the computer is in the child's room.
That's the number one place you don't want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these kids got their parents snowed.
Yep.
They got webcams doing all types of shit. Because the parents are not up on the technology. They don't know what's happening.
Yep.
Oh, they know. They just don't give a damn. They too busy.
No,
they
don't think
it's
their kid.
Yeah,
they don't think their kid will ever do it.
Right.
So they're hooking up, meeting grown men preying on these young girls, getting some of them pregnant. I've seen all of that. I thought the teen pregnancy had gone low. Like when I was a teenager, around 15, 16, my grandmother lived right down the street from a high school, and I would see those teenage girls pushing babies, and their bellies would be out. And there was an OBGYN that practiced down the corner from her, and it would be nothing, Lady Taz, but teenage girls. And my grandmother would go send me down to the pharmacy to pick up her medicine, and the place would just be packed with all those teenage girls, and I would be sitting there looking at them, and I'm like, they're my age, and what are they doing with these babies? And they say, "You have a baby?" I said, "No." Oh, they said, "Oh, you must can't have one." I said, "No, I don't want one." And they thought I was crazy. They thought I was crazy.
They don't have a clue.
I'm telling
you,
they don't
have a clue.
They all know.
But you know what? I have to agree with Sean to a certain extent. Sean, your last comment, and you sort of got cut off there for a bit. But you said that some of them just don't even care. They're out, you know, partying, having fun, whatever. And I agree with Sean. I mean, there is a percentage of that kind of thing going on. And I know that because then I end up dealing with these kids as they get into trouble. Where there is nobody at home to supervise them, where the mother has, you know, a whole bunch of boyfriends, and it's like a, you know, turnstile at the house, and, you know, they call everybody an uncle. You know, I remember the one kid who said to me, "Oh, I have a lot of uncles," and I legitimately thought he meant, like, I have a lot of uncles. But then as I started to talk to him, and guess what? This kid was up on sexual charges, by the way. In any event, and so as I started to speak to him more, I found out, no, they actually weren't uncles. They were lovers of the mother who were, he was being told that he had to refer to them as uncle. In any event, so I have to kind of side with Sean and say that, yeah, there's some of that going on too. And I don't know, Sean, because we kind of cut you off, whether you want to add anything to the comment you were beginning to make.
I mean, it's just that, you know, when I was coming up, they had the welfare thing and everything. You get food stamps, and the more kids you have, the more money you got.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, some women were like, "Well, shit, I have more kids, I get more money, you know, I can do my thing." And they're, you know, having these kids by different guys, and, you know, they got 8 kids by 5 different baby daddies or whatever, whatnot. And you know, it's all about a paycheck to them. Then these kids grow up, and they see their mother doing the things that they're doing. "Well, this is your uncle, such and such," and whatever, whatnot. And, you know, and they get used to it. Okay, well, mommy did it, I'm going to do it too. You know, and then now here we are, you know, shit is all out of hand and haywire. You know,
yeah.
Which I think is sad, but, I mean, you know, if that's how you were raised and that's what you were brought up to believe, then you fucked. You know,
well, actually, I don't know if you guys have watched the news in these last couple of weeks, but in fact, this has been a really hot topic in the last couple of weeks, all over the various stations, from CNN to 20 Minutes or 2020 or what, ABC. They've all been doing kind of specials because apparently what they have discovered, and I don't know if this was through some kind of research or whatever, is that youth are saying that they're not being educated about sex. And there's this guy who turned this school around somewhere in New York State, and he was doing an interview with some people from schools in the Boston area. And he said that there's a real problem that sex education isn't being taught to the kids. And he said that what they discovered is not that sex education be taught from the perspective of how do you do it, but to teach the emotional aspects of sex education, meaning the hormonal aspects, the feelings you're going to go through. And apparently they already did sort of a mini project of this or whatever, tried it out, and apparently they believe that it is successful and that it works. But what's happening is parents in these various communities are being outraged and saying, no, we don't want our children to be taught such a sex education. The only thing you should be teaching is abstinence. And so now there's this huge debate going on. And like I said, almost every night that I've turned on the TV on some station, this is being discussed, and it's a major topic. So what do you all think about that? And I'll start with you, Lisa.
Well, if I had a child, if I had a son, if I had a daughter, it's my duty as the parent to sit down and talk to my child about sex.
But that's what these parents are saying. But unfortunately, a lot of them aren't doing that.
And being open and honest. Well, you know what? They're going to send their child out in the world ignorant, particularly if you have a daughter. Because for every time you sit down and tell her to close her legs, keep her dress down, there's a young man out there being told by five or six men how to get her dress up and to spread her damn legs. So you're going to send your child out in the world ignorant? And you're just going to tell her, just say no, and everything will be okay.
And a perfect example of the whole just say no, and this is not a political show, but you know that Palin, right? That's what she was touting. That's what she was supporting was the whole abstinence and that you are not to teach
her little
education.
Her daughter got
pregnant and kind of blew that argument out of the water. I don't know. Chris, what do you think about this whole sex education thing? Do you think there's something to it?
Yeah, pretty much. But, I mean, you got to, like I say, it really starts at the house, you know, because even though children have a hard time remembering what you said once they leave the house and the peer pressure hits and you know, the temptation hits and all that stuff, you still have to talk to them because you just might have gotten through. You know what I'm saying? And so if you put the effort and do what you're supposed to do and you know you've done all you can do, there really ain't too much else you can say because you've done what you can. Other than keeping them prisoner in the house, what can you do? They got to learn. But you gotta, you know, you gotta start with you trying to teach. Like I said, my mom used to talk to me all the time, okay? But she couldn't compete with what happened when I went out the door, you know? And she sure couldn't compete with, you know, everything else that happened.
Well, but let me ask you this, Chris, more specifically. Do you think that it's appropriate to have sex education being taught in the schools and, you know, the fact that they've now discovered that it isn't so much about discussing the actual act of it, but that it's about discussing the emotional aspects of having sex and being prepared and the responsibility of sex and all that kind of stuff? Do you think it should be taught in the schools?
That's a hard one. I mean, because, like I say, what might work for one child might not work for another, you know. You got one child that you can teach it this way, and they will take exactly what you say and make it, you know, understand exactly what you're talking about. But then another child might take it like, that just means I can do it. You know what I'm saying? Because they teaching me what I'm supposed to do and how I'm supposed to do it. Okay,
yeah. Renee, what do you think? Should sex education be taught in school?
Everywhere. It should be taught everywhere. There should be no nicknames and, you know, keep your little tinky in your pants. None of that little stupid shit. From day one, my children's privates were referred to as what they are. And people would look at me like, you telling him about his penis? Oh, well, that's what it is. You telling her to clean her vagina? That's what it is. None of these little nicknames, none of these little weird things. And parents need to, what I find, and people I know, parents need to learn how to communicate. And they're so eager to try and not explain exactly what sex is to their kids. And the problem you have with that, or I know I have with that, is I don't want any kids, as Chris was saying, you got all these other knuckleheads, his peers, telling him, you know, to have sex with as much girls as you can find. That's nonsense. I didn't want any other kid to teach my child what they needed to know. And, yes, there are parents out there that are afraid and embarrassed to talk about sex. I don't understand that. I don't understand that.
But you do support it being taught in school.
Everywhere.
Though.
If you go to church,
everywhere.
It needs to be discussed at church. If you go to the neighbor's house, we need to talk about sex. I have a friend who has five kids. Now, from a small age, my daughter asked me about a period from a tampon commercial. I didn't sugarcoat a thing. Now, there are parts that you really leave out, but I told her the gist of what a tampon was, and she didn't understand it, and she just, okay, whatever. I answered her. You know, if there was ever a question my son had, I answered. There, when he got older, see, I grew up in a household filled with girls, no boys. So I didn't really understand what a boy's body would go through. I had cousins, but we weren't in the same household. And one day I walked into the bathroom on him where I had removed all the towels out of the bathroom, and I nearly fell out when I saw his privates. I'm like, what the hell happened here? I'm like, how the hell did he get undressed that fast? So I'm like, whoa, my goodness. I almost passed out. And I'm just in there rushing to take him a towel thinking I beat him. You know, I would move faster than he did because he's not going to realize I took all the towels out of the bathroom. So I'm like, and even prior to that, I had been talking to their father about talking to him about how his body would change. It's like, you would know that you're a boy. I wouldn't have a clue about it. And I did the best I could, but Daddy refused to do so. He just laughed and giggled, like, what am I supposed to say? I'm like, damn it, equip yourself with, or just, you know, remember some of the things you went through and go talk to the boy. Well, then I found him, you know, jacking himself off.
Whoa.
I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, see? And then I was mad at the father. So I'm like, you should have talked to him. Now, granted, I was still talking to him. I still wanted him to hear it from a male. That was the only difference.
Right.
I'm talking to him as
right.
best I could. And from that point on, all I could try and talk to him about was self-control. You need to learn self-control. Yes, you will have urges. You don't have to act on every urge that you have, you know. And I pulled all this kind of stuff off websites of how to talk to boys about sex and their changing body, and I did the best I could. And, you know, he's never said anything, okay, I appreciate this or whatever, but whenever there were other boys around or girls, I bring up the subject of sex. And I have, like, the guy friend that I mentioned, he and his wife, they are so, they're holy rollers, and there's nothing wrong with praising God, loving the Lord. Trust me, there's nothing wrong with that. But so many people are afraid to discuss sex with their kids. And I know a lot of people that are Christians who refuse to discuss it.
Yep.
And he was like, how am I supposed to talk about this?
And they're the ones that are objecting to it being taught in the schools, too.
Yeah, they're totally against anybody teaching their kids about it, yet the minute many of these kids come home pregnant, the little girls, they're trying to abort them because they're trying to save face. They want the babies abort. I mean, I know these situations. I know personal situations like this, and it's a shame. Parents need to do better jobs at educating their kids about sex.
True. I agree with you, Renee. And Sean, what do you say? Should sex education be taught in school?
Yeah, I don't know why they stopped it. When I was in high school, they had it. I'm just not understanding why they stopped it. I mean,
because
hell,
parents
kids,
don't want it.
Well, these kids, well, either the parents need to step up or they need to let them, you know, do something, let them have it in school or something. I mean, they need to know. They have to know because the rate they going, it's going to be sad for the future, real sad. I mean,
well, it is because it also affects the dropout rate and everything else out of high schools and, you know, education. And, I mean, it's just it's a spiral, right? It's a spiral.
Right. I mean, you got these kids that's coming up now are supposed to be our future. You know, I don't want some idiot pants hanging down to his up underneath his ass and all that shit. I don't want him in no office trying to run a city or none of that. You know, I mean, it's crazy. It's retarded. But this is what we deal with. This is what we have to go through. You know how the saying go, you make your bed, you got to lay in it.
Well, there you go. Lisa, what do you think? Should sex education be taught in school?
I think it should, but first and foremost, I think it should be taught at home. But, yeah, it should be taught at school. I remember in high school we used to have PSL. I forgot what that stood for now, but they gave us an egg. The egg was supposed to represent a baby. We're supposed to take it with us everywhere. Some teenagers sat on their eggs. you know, and then there were some schools that had the robotic babies. I don't know if they still have that. And the baby
was yeah, I heard that was a really successful program.
They do.
It was wearing those teenagers out. And they said, well, this is how it really is. You have somebody that's half your size, bald-headed, no teeth in his mouth, does not work, and will not take no for an answer. So you have to take care of it. So it's just like,
what
you know,
a way
I knew
to
I
describe it.
I mean, because,
wow.
You know, I could barely keep plastic plants alive, so I knew I wouldn't do
Lisa,
good with those
Lisa,
children.
can you repeat that line for me again? I want to hear that line again.
Okay, I just said, you know, this is somebody that's half your size, bald-headed, no teeth in its mouth, and will not take no for an answer. You have to take care of it. This is a baby.
I love that. I love that.
This is your life now. You know, you got to be responsible now. It's looking to you to take care of it. Supply all its needs, direct it, feed it, clothe it, everything. But see, they don't think about all that.
We're getting close to the end of the show. Ronnie, are you still with us? Oh, maybe not. Okay, so, and I think I think Abe got disconnected. Abe, are you still there?
Yes.
Oh, okay. What do you think, Abe? Should sex education be taught in school?
Yes, now I do say for children, there's no excuse now because it is the internet, so there's no excuse not to know. And it's in it on the phone, so I don't need the excuse. So I don't know how it go in or protect whether it's the condoms for male and female. There's diaphragm. There's so much stuff nowadays that you can look up and you can research before you have to use it. And what schools would do is, you know the graduation test you need to graduate from high school to get your high school diploma?
Mm-hmm.
I wish they had a sexual part about how to protect yourself, the emotional connection, and those things kind of nature that should be on the test. That's need to know information.
You're absolutely right. And you're absolutely right, Abe. And you know, I'm so glad you joined us again. We missed you there for a couple of weeks. But you know what? HIV and sexually transmitted diseases are also on the rise among teens. Oh, I mean, that's
mm-hmm.
something that we've got to, you know, sort of think about, whatever. We're not done with this subject. Hey, you know what? We're going to do it again. Who knows? At some point. But let me tell you what's going to be on next week's show. Next week's show, Lady Taz is going to take the hot seat. Yep. And here's why. Because Lady Taz has been getting just a whole shitload of hate mail. Everything from racial email to I hate women emails accusing me of all kinds of things. So we're going to try to set the record straight next week, and the panelists can ask me questions or support me or not support me or go against me or whatever, but that's what it's going to be. It's going to be about all this stuff that's going on BTR and, you know, kind of the racially motivated stuff and the you know, accusing me that I hate women. So I guess I'm going to have to set the record straight. And in doing so, I'm going to let my panelists say what their positions are. And, hey, they may not agree with Lady Taz, but that's what's up for next week. We're going to clear up some of this bullshit because, really, I can't handle the emails I'm getting anymore. And so I'm going to try to set the record straight next week. And hopefully I'll be successful in doing that. Meantime, I'd like to thank everybody on the panel, all my panelists. You know, I got mad love for each and every one of you and for everyone who called in, including Abe and I believe it was Ronnie and other people that I accidentally disconnected, which I apologize for. In any event, you know what? Lady Taz isn't perfect. I try to do the best that I can. All right, guys, take care. Have a great week, and we'll see you again next Sunday. Take care. Good night.
Thank you.
Good night. Holla.